Welcome to episode 177 of George's Random Astronomical Object. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes that object so interesting to astronomers. So, I will now run the random number generator.
Why?
The generator has returned the coordinates of 15 hours, 21 minutes, 44.8 seconds for ascension, and plus 52 degrees, 54 minutes, 49 seconds declination. These coordinates point to SBS 1520 plus 530. Which is another object where the digits correspond to the coordinates of the object in the outdated 1950 coordinate system. The letters SBS stand for the Second Bureaucon Survey, which was a survey performed in the 1980s and 1990s using the facilities at the Bureycon Astrophysical Observatory in what was once part of the Soviet Union, but which is today Armenia. Additionally, the survey performed follow-up observations of some objects using the 6-meter telescope at the Special Astrophysical Observatory in what was once part of the Soviet Union, but which is now the Caucasus Mountains in southern Russia. This survey used prisms to produce spectra of various objects in the sky that produced excess ultraviolet emission, because Armenians were really into astronomical objects that produced excess ultraviolet emission, or objects that had interesting spectral lines. What people involved with the survey noticed was unusual about SBS 1520 plus 530 is that it consisted of two point-like objects located very close to each other on the sky, and the light from these objects appeared to be redshifted such that the wavelengths of light observed on Earth were 2.885 times longer than the original wavelengths of light. These results indicated that the two objects were at relatively large distances, which correspond to the light traveling 11.5 billion years to reach the Earth, but which for complicated reasons do not exactly correspond to distances of 11.5 billion light years. People conclude that the two objects were actually two different images of the same object that had been created by gravitational lensing. And a paper led by V.H. Chavusyan announcing this discovery was published in 1997. In the gravitational lensing in SBS 1520 plus 530, gravity from a galaxy in front of the object is bending the light in such a way that, as seen from Earth, SBS 1520 plus 530 appears in two different locations on opposite sides of the galaxy in front of it. A lot of people, including me, are currently studying gravitational lenses, and we currently know about lots and lots of these systems. In fact, we know about so many gravitational lenses that I am not going to try to guess how many have been found. Back in 1997, however, gravitational lensing was an extremely rare phenomenon, so it was really noteworthy to find any gravitationally lensed objects anywhere. However, that is not where the excitement ends with SBS 1520 plus 530. The object is also a quasar, a type of galaxy with an active galactic nucleus consisting of a black hole millions or billions of times the mass of the Sun, a disk of gas falling into that black hole, and jets of ionized gas that emerge above the poles of the black hole because the infalling gas gets deflected away from the black hole by the system's magnetic fields. Like many other quasars, the rate at which gas is falling into SBS 1520 plus 530 is variable. And this means that the amount of gas that emerges in the jets is also variable, and that the amount of light that comes out across the electromagnetic spectrum is also variable. What is special about 1520 plus 530 compared to most other quasars is that because gravitational lensing causes the light to take two different paths to reach the Earth, any variations in light from the quasar will be seen in one location before the other. The difference in time between the variations in light from one image of the quasar and the other image is about 124 days. This information on the relative differences in the length of the two different paths is related to the physical size of the lens, And this, along with the apparent size of the lens on the sky and the redshift, allows for calculating the Hubble constant. This constant describes how, because of the expansion of the universe, galaxies further away from Earth appear to be moving faster than galaxies closer to Earth. For example, a galaxy that appears to be moving 2,000 kilometers per second away from Earth would be expected to be twice as far as a galaxy that appears to be moving 1,000 kilometers per second away from Earth. Back in the 1990s and early 2000s, when I was a PhD student, astronomers were vigorously debating what this value was, and people were measuring values falling somewhere in the 50 to 100 kilometers per second per megaparsec range, which means that for a galaxy moving 1,000 kilometers per second away from Earth, it could be located at a distance anywhere from 10 to 20 megaparsecs. Everyone was on the lookout for new opportunities for measuring the Hubble constant, and variations in the light seen from gravitationally lensed quasars like SPS 1520 plus 530 provided a new way to measure the Hubble constant. So, in 2002, a group of people led by Ingunn Burud published an analysis calculating the Hubble constant using the variations in light from SPS 1520 plus 530, and they came up with a value of 51 kilometers per second per megaparsec. That is, very surprisingly, on the low end of the range of possible values for the Hubble constant. Since 2002, people have come closer to an agreed-upon value for the Hubble constant, but they aren't quite there yet. The two most notable methods people have relied on in 2026 to calculate the Hubble constant are models of the variations of the cosmic microwave background radiation produced by the Big Bang, which has yielded a Hubble constant of 68.22 kilometers per second per megaparsec, and measurements using very distant supernovae, which have yielded values of 73.5 kilometers per second per megaparsec. Although the difference in the Hubble constant between these two methods is only about 7.5%, people are still getting really worked up about that last few percentage difference. I suppose back in the 1990s, the difference in the possible range of values of the Hubble constant could be related to the difference in the range of prices between fast food restaurants and fine dining, while the debate today is equivalent to the question of exactly how much extra to tip at a mid-range family restaurant. Anyhow, the Hubble constant of 51 kilometers per second per megaparsec originally reported for SPS 1520 plus 530 seems especially low compared to these modern estimates. I found a 2015 paper that gave a revised value for the Hubble constant derived from SPS 1520 plus 530 as 59.0 kilometers per second per megaparsec. That's still low compared to modern values. However, that paper also made measurements of the Hubble constant from other gravitationally lensed quasars and obtained an average value of 68.1 kilometers per second per megaparsec, which is more in the ballpark of what we now expect. A more recent paper repeated this analysis with even more gravitationally lensed quasars and got 71 kilometers per second per megaparsec, which falls right between the cosmic microwave background value and the supernova value. This debate is going to go on for a while, just like people are going to continue to debate whether to tip more or less at a restaurant because the service was fast and the chicken burger was good, but the fries were only lukewarm. However, I personally don't feel compelled to get involved in that debate. Arguing over a 7.5 disagreement in the measurement of a constant isn't my thing. On the other hand, I am working with a lot of gravitational lens data right now, so I could always wander into the debate sheerly by accident, and in a few years' time, find myself involved in the deeply heated argument at a conference somewhere in France or California, or someplace like that. The location on the Earth's surface corresponding to the position of SPS 1520 plus 530 in the sky is about 4 kilometers south of Dudney Island, which is just off the coast of British Columbia. One thing worth saying is that this location is part of a subduction zone where the Pacific Plate is moving under the North American Plate. That is more or less the opposite of the expansion of the universe. So I think we can safely say that, except for how this location off the coast of British Columbia lines up with SPS 1520 plus 530, the two really don't have anything in common with each other. The website for this podcast is www.randomastronomicalobject.com. You can visit the website to read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy, and the sound effects are from the Freesounds Project at www.freesounds.org. Thanks for listening.